Today's scripture reading is from Hebrews, the faith of other Israelite heroes. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as if it were dry land. But when the Egyptians attempted to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had received the spies in peace. And what more should I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured, refused to accept release in order to obtain a better resurrection. Others suffered mocking and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, persecuted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and in holes in the ground. Yet all these, though they were commended for their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better so that they would not, apart from us, be made perfect. The example of Jesus. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you for the reading, Jean. We missed you. It's good to see you. I invite you to pray with me in your hearts. Lord our God, we praise and worship you. You are the creator of everything, including us. And your word will last forever. So thank you for the opportunity today to read from it. It's a book full of life. And so we pray that your words will bring new life to us this morning. I pray that your Spirit will open our hearts and our minds so we are ready, willing, alert, and able to take in everything that you wish to share with us today. And we pray that in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. So the Christian life is a race. It is a race that is before us. It is a long race. It is a hard and rigorous race. And so, what is the challenge for us? And why is it so difficult? And how can we run this race better? That's what we'll be talking about today. So let me introduce you to the longest certified foot race in the world. It takes place every year in Jamaica, Queens. Now, I've lived in Queens for many, many years, and I've never heard of it, and I never knew about it. It's called the Self-Transcendence 3,100-mile race. Anybody ever heard of it? That's right, 3,100 miles. And this year it will kick off on September 5 and it will last for 52 days. The runners must log an average of 59.6 miles per day. They begin at 6 a.m. and run for extended periods throughout the day, taking breaks as needed. If they want to, they can run and continue as late as 12 midnight when the course closes for the night. I mean, can you imagine doing that for 52 days in a row? For most of the competitors, it's really a spiritual challenge. They try to set records and gain spiritual insights. They did a documentary on the race in which they examined, you know, the philosophical side of long-distance running. And one athlete in the movie says that running is a prayer to him and a teacher and really a celebration of life. I guess it has to be something like that if you're going to run for 52 days. So when we look at the Bible, we see that God's word often uses the image of a race, of someone running a race. The Apostle Paul asks the Corinthians, "Do you not know that in the race the runners all compete, but only one receives the prize? So run in such a way that you may win it." Run in such a way that you may win it. Be in it to win it. And then to Timothy, he says, "I have fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith." He says, "I've done my best in the race. I've run the full distance. I've finished the race of life, and I've kept the faith." You know, Paul doesn't mention Adam when he talks about running. I guess he could have, because after all, Adam was the fastest runner of all time. I don't know if you knew this. He was first in the human race. I'm sorry, it's still early, right? So here in today's passage from Hebrews, we also find some running language. In chapter 12, it begins with the words, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith." So he says we are surrounded by so many people whose lives tell us what faith means. So let's run this race that is set before us. Let's never give up. Let's remove the things that get in the way and the sin that so easily holds us back. Let's look only to Jesus, the one who began our faith and who makes it perfect. Let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. So what we see is that, you know, from the very beginning days of the church, the Christian faith, our faith in Jesus Christ has been linked to running. Run in such a way that you may win it. Finish the race. Keep the faith. Run with perseverance the race that is set before you. Not all of us are runners, of course. I mean, I did one half marathon when I was in my 20s. And that one marathon was enough for me to realize that I'd much rather, you know, chase a ball than to run like that. To be honest, I'd rather chase a tennis ball or a golf ball. So much more fun. And maybe you feel differently, and maybe you did run, or maybe you do run, but you're probably more comfortable with a 100-yard dash or 800 meters or a few laps around the football field than a 3,100-mile race. But listen, whether we run or whether we walk, We can grow in faith by joining the race laid out in the letter to the Hebrews, by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Because when you think about it, the Christian life is a race. It's a long race. It's a rigorous race. And so let's talk about the challenge. Let's see why it is so difficult. And let's find out how we can run it better. So first of all, the challenge. I mean, it is a challenge. The Bible is, you know, it's full of stories of how God's people had to face many different challenges. How they faced various trials and tribulations. And so it says in verse 29, by faith the people passed through the Red Sea as if it were dry land. But when the Egyptians attempted to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after they'd been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had received the spies in peace. So what do we see? They all faced enormous challenges. But what did they have in the face of these enormous challenges? It says, by faith. The people of God had faith. They did not overcome obstacles just with their intelligence or technology or physical strength, but also with faith, with their faith. They trusted Almighty God to do work for them in their lives in every time and in every place and in every situation. And listen, I'm sure you have had many challenges in your life. And you will have many more challenges. And the race of life is really about facing one challenge after the other. It's about overcoming obstacles. When you overcome one obstacle, the next one is just around the corner. And so we deal with illness and difficult relationships and expectations at work and children misbehaving, financial issues and loss, poor decisions, or whatever else you have going on in your life. So how can we deal with all of these difficulties? By faith. By faith, we can overcome these challenges. By faith, we can persevere. By faith, we can make new beginnings. By faith, we can know that God is on our side. By faith, we can experience His power and His presence and His protection as we run the race of life. So what is faith? In Hebrews 11:1, it says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So faith makes us sure of what we hope for. And it gives us proof of what we cannot see. So faith is really trust, if you think about it. It's a willingness to lean on God and believe that God will lead you through the difficulties of life, that He will get you to the finish line, that by His grace, you will be able to join the Apostle Paul in saying, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. And I have kept the faith. But it's not always easy, is it? I think the main challenge for us and for our Christian lives is to have faith. And not just to have faith, but to keep the faith. So why is it so difficult? Why is having faith so difficult? Why is the race so hard and so long? Well, Hebrews tells us that faith is difficult because it does not immediately lead to an easy and comfortable life. Faith does not mean you won't have challenges in life. Faith does not mean that everything will be perfect in your life, that if you simply believe in God, that He's going to take all your problems away. If that's what you think, then you're seriously mistaken. Because life doesn't work that way. And a life of faith in God doesn't work that way. It says in verse 36, over the years, people of faith suffered mocking and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, persecuted, tormented. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. I mean, the Christian life would be so much easier if it meant we'll never have problems. It'd be great if our faith freed us from all pain and suffering, right? But does it? No, it doesn't. Archbishop Desmond Tutu, who passed away recently, or not so recently, a few months ago, of South Africa, he said this: we all experience sadness. We all come at times to despair. And we all lose hope that the suffering in our lives and in our world will never end. But, he said, sadness and suffering are never the end. Suffering could be transformed. God is an expert at dealing with chaos, with brokenness, with all the worst that we can imagine. God created order out of disorder, cosmos out of chaos, and God can do so always, and He can do so now. So the main challenge of the Christian life is to have faith and to keep the faith. And faith is difficult because it involves pain and suffering. Even more suffering than the anguish of an ultra marathon of 3,100 miles. But God brings order out of disorder. It does so in our personal lives and in our lives as a faith community as well. And God always remains faithful to us. And He might not take the storm away, but He will lead you and He will bring you through the storm. And He leads us toward the finish line, which is, as we see later in chapter 12, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And so He ultimately gets us to the city where He resides. He will bring us to His unshakable kingdom. All right, so the race before us is a challenge. And it is difficult. So then, how can we run it better? What can we do that will help us run a better race. The writer of Hebrews says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. I mean, that's a mouthful, so let's unpack it a little further. The first thing is, role models are there for a reason. So follow the example. Coaches are there for a reason. We can learn a lot from them. And so we are surrounded by men and women who've run the race of faith. People whose lives tell us what faith means. Pioneers who blazed the way. People who've persevered in spite of enormous challenges and difficulties. And so we can run better when we follow their inspirational example, when we actually learn from them. I mean, think about your own life and your own world, and there will be some people whose faith and faithfulness to God is an example to you. Maybe a parent, or a friend, or a pastor, or an author, or a person from the Bible. Because we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. And we can get a lot further when we actually get rid of the things that hold us back. When we get rid of sin and bad habits, or hanging out with the wrong people, or spending time in the wrong places, or filling our lives with the wrong information. When we remove the things that slow us down and hold us back from living a life of faith, we can somehow run with more freedom and speed. And we can go further when we run with perseverance. When we don't quit. When we don't give up. When we feel pain or sadness. When we keep going, and when we keep the faith, even when we experience disappointment, when things don't turn out the way that we expected or wanted, to still run, to still persevere. And then also we run the very best when we look to Jesus, the one who began our faith and the one who makes it perfect. When we keep our eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished the race that we're in. Jesus endured the agony and the shame of the cross, the Mount Everest of pain. And he did it to bring us forgiveness of sin. So study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed, that exhilarating finish in and with God. And so you see, when we run the race of faith, we become the people that God wants us to be. And in this race, remember that God is always working for good in our lives. In every time and every place and situation, he's actually working for our good, for those who love him. Because God is an expert at dealing with chaos and brokenness, the difficulties and the challenges that are part of the race, that are part of a life of faith. And Jesus is running ahead of us. And he's showing us how to deal with pain and with difficulties. And how to cross the finish line into the city of the living God. Amen. Let us pray. Holy God, life is a long and arduous race. And it is a challenge for us to have faith as we run this race and to keep the faith, to persevere, to not give up. Because it's so easy when we experience difficulties or challenges to start doubting and wondering about you and our faith in you. It's so easy to get bogged down and distracted with things that prevent us from being faithful and running a faithful race. My prayer is that you, God, will protect us, that your Spirit will keep our faith strong, and that your Spirit will allow us and enable us to keep our focus on the finish line, and in doing so, follow your Son Jesus, who showed us the way. May you bless us with faith so that we will indeed be able to endure and to keep running and to reach the finish line, saying, we've kept the faith and now we've crossed that finish line into your presence. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.